truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
To compare America's healthcare system to the systematic murdering of 6 million Jews.
Legislative language is so arcane, so confusing. It refers to other parts of the code. And after the
one of the things that I think is most valuable about sports.
Those facts and those realities aren't good enough for President Obama, and they aren't good enough for me.
I admit I'm a pervert. I came here to take pictures of your daughter.
Johnny Diablo.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, because this is a show where liberals and conservatives and Republicans and Democrats, this is the show where they come to die. This is a place that has no room for any of these ideologues that have slowly but surely sucked the life and the fun, I might add, out of being in America. Whether you're a liberal or a conservative. Wait till you hear Chris Matthews licking the ass of this guy Grayson on his show today on Hardball, and I use that word advisedly. This guy Grayson that stood up in Congress, you know, and said that the Republicans were promoting a Holocaust, and then in the next breath says, why can't they sit down and work with us? Congressman Grayson, sir, I say this with the greatest of respect. I don't know whether you're in the right job or not, man. If you want to work with somebody, if you want to sit down and you want to have a conversation with somebody and say, listen, why don't we get the troubles aside? Let's sit down and let's talk this thing out. You don't first compare them to Nazis. I don't know where you learned your social skills. But if I want to get a guy to work with me, the first thing I don't do is look at him, stick my finger in his face and go, and you're a Nazi and you're killing 6 million Jews and you're just a, but let's sit down and have a beer. Generally, that's the kind of conversation that is the prequel to a fist fight, but not necessarily sitting down and breaking bread and having yourself a jolly old time. So wait till you hear this stuff. It's beyond belief. And the guy is still, he's still working it because he's in love with the fact that everybody's paying attention to him, including Chris, my one Hardball Matthews. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL is the number, and of course, we are live streaming audio tonight, as we are every night on our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. You can look at a live streaming video of the show right now. You can listen to our weekly webisodes coming up on Monday. We will have webisode number 2. This week we had Vernon Dozier and Pastor William Renick talking about why it is Obama's race plays such a major factor in discussions these days as to the effectiveness of the president, or whether or not race should play a part, or whether or not we're imagining things and it doesn't. And the two of them get right into it. And actually, I'll give you a little hint as to what to expect. Vernon is upset that because we now have a black president, he can't use the N-word with his white friends anymore because they're going to tell him to chill it out. And then Pastor Rennick comes on and lays into him. So that's on our webisode. It's all available there along with our archives at philhendryshow.com. We were going to start with the Olympic news, but then we realized we had some audio that was too priceless, almost too over the top to ignore, and we simply must force you to listen to this because it is a beautiful thing. Now, you know that President Obama went to Copenhagen, and he wanted to promote the city of Chicago as a possible venue for the forthcoming Olympics. I don't know whether the hell that was the 2016 Summer Games. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is coming from me, and you guys know that I'm not lying to you because you heard me say it. When I voted for Obama, I listened to what the guy said before I voted for him. I said, okay, now this is a guy, I think he's going to address the domestic situation, I think, in a more activist way. I think we need that right now. I think President Bush, he's done a good job, and I really do believe that. I think he's done a good job. I think events, particularly for a fiscal conservative like himself, the events have transcended at this particular point his ability to deal with them. And really, this is the end result, I think, not so much of bad fiscal policy as it is the end result of just lousy business leadership in America. Then Obama came along, and everybody thought that it was going to be a new day in America, you know, like love-in style, man. You know, it was going to be a new day in America with beads and tambourines or something, because everyone was blissed out with him. I didn't buy it for a minute. I heard what the guy said when he said he'd go into Pakistan with or without their permission to blow that Osama bin Laden's ass out of the water. So I wasn't under any illusions. And the one thing that I did not believe from the gate The one thing I didn't believe from the gate was that America needed any help with its image around the world. Now, I don't care what people say, who they've talked to, what their friends have told them, and all of this nice stuff. I look at the actual reality in the world. Now, what's the reality in the world? Well, I'll give an example. The final year of his presidency, George Bush was treated as if he was bloody Captain Cook come home to celebrate with the Tahitian natives when he went down to Africa. They loved him. We saw a conservative government take over in France. We saw a conservative government take over in Italy. We heard rhetoric coming out of Europe that wasn't Obama style, at least the Obama style that some people think they understand to be Obama style, which, frankly, they got their heads so far up their asses, man, they got to open their mouths to find out whether the sun's coming up or going down. So the one thing I never thought we ever needed any help with was our image. And these simple-minded jackasses after Bush got elected in 04, where they got the sign that says, "We're sorry, world." I mean, where are those people right now, man? Seriously, have you guys been able to show your faces to your friends and neighbors since then? So Obama needing to repair America's image, I never got that, never bought that, never believed that. And I personally think it was never needed and still isn't needed. He's the president of the United States. That's for sure. But the United States is an entity. It's almost like that guy that walks into the back room there at Rick's in Casablanca. You know, no introductions are needed. Thank you very much. Well, who are you? We're the United States of... Oh, sorry, sir. Yes, here we have your table for you. That's the way it is. There are certainly some countries, recalcitrant, rebellious, a new age kind of socialist attitude coming out of places like Venezuela. When I say new age socialist, I'm being kind. I think it's just a good old fashioned tin horn dictator who wears a work shirt. You know, I guess all of them do. Most of those cats in South America, huh?
Yeah, if you look at all the dictators down there, they generally buy their clothes at Army Surplus or something.
Yeah. All right. But for the most part, America is like the guy that comes in the door and says, "Yeah, hi, where's my table?" "Oh, yes, sir, that's who we are." Why are we that way? Because we've earned it. We've earned it. We have a certain cachet with the owner. He knows who we are. We come in, we sit down. "May we show you the wine list, sir?" "Yeah, well, thank you very much." Mm-hmm. We have our table. That's what happens when you earn your place in the establishment we know as the world. So when Obama went over to Copenhagen to pitch Chicago for the Olympics, he went over as an American president. They certainly know who we are. We've got stadiums. We've got fun galore, man. There's no place on earth where you can have a better party than America. There's no place that puts on a better party than America. There's no people that have a better time than Americans. We work our asses off, and then we go out. As the saying goes, work hard and play hard. I don't really like that saying because it bespeaks some one of these jackasses I used to see at the Colorado River with their V-bottom boat, you know, and they're all, "I work hard and play hard, man, you know." And all I want to do is just lob like a potato masher grenade into the back of it as they're taking off. But you know what I mean. So Obama goes over there. He says, "Well, I'm going to do the pitch for Chicago." Now, the first thing that made me laugh wasn't so much the fact that he was going over there. It was hearing people saying the following. Now, you get a load of this, because I think you're going to pee yourself. Listen, "We're in the middle of an economic crisis, man. There's no jobs. What's he going over there trying to get jobs for us for?" Because that's essentially what they were saying. Go to get the Olympics. Why, what sense does that make? All that's going to do is bring over millions and millions and millions of dollars and maybe put a whole lot of people to work. Why do we need that? All right. But I never thought that Barack Obama, and I still don't think that Barack Obama is Jesus Christ. He doesn't think he's Jesus Christ. His wife doesn't think he's Jesus Christ. Dare I say, his children don't think he's Jesus Christ. A lot of people do. A lot of real feather merchants, a lot of people that probably shouldn't be driving and doing all these other things with heavy machinery they tell you not to do when you're taking all of that stuff the doctor said would make your brain chemistry right. I think a lot of these people that think Obama like that, well, you've heard these people on our show, that Diane Watson, the rest of these elected representatives, whatever he's my president, whatever he says. You'd swear to God this guy is the second coming of Reverend Ike. Obama knows he ain't Reverend Ike. Obama knows he ain't Reverend Jones. Obama knows he's not Jesus Christ. Obama knows that he ain't Dale Earnhardt, whoever it is that people are worshiping. He's the president. He went over, he made a pitch. But some of these people, man, some of these cats that you'd swear to God that the nitrous oxide kick never really went out in their neighborhood, man. They're still doing balloons. They're having themselves a real joy time, man. They got a joy hole in their pocket. And they think that Obama, if he sets foot in a room, my God, it could be the public latrine at Yankee Stadium. The place is going to smell like a flower shop when Obama comes to town. Now, Obama doesn't believe this about himself, folks, and this is the thing that I think people need to understand. I have respect for the man, and I can separate the man from the morons who traditionally admire him. I think he's an admirable guy, but I do not believe that he is... I don't think that he's that cat. Remember, who was the guy that Jim Jones went to see?
I thought it was Reverend Ike, your father something.
That father guy, yeah, that cat that, you know, wear a white suit, you know, that guy that was played by James Earl Jones. Anyway, Obama went, he made the pitch for the Olympics. Guess what? The Olympic Committee said, thank you very much. It's great. Nice to see you, Mr. President. We don't want Chicago. We wouldn't go near it with a 10-foot pole. Thank you very much. We don't want it. And the president, I'm sure, said, okay. Well, not the commentators, though. The people that were covering it, from WGN Radio to WGN Television to CNN's Tony Harris. Tony Harris, I mean, Tony, I think you're a good guy. I think essentially you've got your if you don't mind me saying it this way, your heart in the right place, and I am spelling that H-E-A-R-T. But could you back off just a little bit, man? Just maybe pull an anchor out and drop yourself wherever you are so you're not floating above the ground all the time. Here is WGN as they are shocked. CNN is shocked. Ed Henry is shocked when they find out that Obama ain't Jesus, he ain't walking on water, and he can't get the Olympics for Chicago.
The city of Chicago, having obtained the least number of votes,
Chicago eliminated in the first round.
Did I just...
Did we hear that right?
I think I just... pandemonium here in the broadcast center here.
Immediately with another round of
votes. You heard it, though it was difficult and shocking. Chicago eliminated in the first round of voting.
On the first round, and that absolutely flies in the face of every prediction that we heard with this president, Barack Obama, who has an international flavor and an international following because
international
his parents
flavor
were from two different continents. That there might be a great deal of international appeal, and President Obama might have put Chicago over the edge, and that did not happen.
No, because there isn't a great deal of international appeal, just because his mother's white and his father comes from Kenya, and an international flavor. So anyway, now let's get to Tony.
I am gay.
Harris of CNN.
Yeah, I think this is going to work out just perfectly. So let's do this. Let's take you to Copenhagen right now, where we're about to get an announcement of the first city out. Let's have a listen.
The city of Chicago, having obtained the least number of votes, will not participate in the next round.
Chicago is out. Chicago is out. Let's get AD mic'd up here. Madrid is still in. Tokyo is still in. Wait a minute. Chicago is out?
Yes, that's what the guy said. Chicago is out, Harris. Now, if you don't mind...
You're causing a disturbance.
All right, let's go to Ed Henry. Maybe he's a little less hysterical.
One of the things...
No, that's not Ed. That's the president.
But I think the broader question as well is, the First Lady in her remarks mentioned the words hope and change as well, and then introduced her husband, and he was the final speaker. That worked in 2008 here, back home in the United States, in the electorate. But here, maybe it just didn't sell. And I think that naturally people are going to be wondering. The president talked a lot last year about improving America's image around the world, that suddenly he being elected, that maybe some things would change, not just in the United States, but around the world. We're starting to see maybe there are limits to exactly how much clout he has on the international stage.
We don't need to repair any image.
One of the things that I think is most valuable about sports.
I am gay.
Is that you can play a great game and still not win. And so, although I wish that we had come back with better news from Copenhagen. I could not be prouder of my hometown of Chicago. The volunteers were involved, Mayor Daley, the delegation, and the American people for the extraordinary bid that we put forward.
All right, good job. You didn't get the Olympics. You tried, Mr. President. Come on home, and let's get off this kick about improving our image around the world and all this claptrap about Gitmo and, oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, even if my name was
Johnny Diablo,
I'd be proud of it. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with the unemployment numbers. They aren't as bad as you think. They really aren't. They are not as bad as you think, although if you think they're bad, they're bad. It's cool. I understand. I get it, especially if you're out of work. Yeah, they're bad, but can we put it into perspective? Or is this just another function of Tony Harris getting hysterical here tonight on Chicago not getting the bid to the... Take it easy, Tony. We'll be right back.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Johnny Diablo.
You're causing a disturbance.
Phil Henry.
Somebody told Tony Harris that Chicago didn't get the Olympics. He ran down the hall screaming.
Who are these people and what do they do?
He couldn't figure it out for love or money, man. How is it that Obama went over there and he said, here I am. I showed up just like they told me to. See, again, you have to separate the president, I think, from the expectations that other people have. I don't know that Obama went over there thinking people were going to be, you know, imagine him crapping Tiffany cufflinks as soon as he landed. I imagine he went over there. Hi, I'm the president of the United States. You guys know who I am. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, we want to pitch Chicago. Yeah, well, we got a few other times. All right, let's talk about it. Meanwhile, everybody running around with bated breath waiting for him to come back with the tablets from the mount. Now, let's grow up. Grow up. I like the guy. I think he'll make a great president. I really do. I'm rooting for him because I'm rooting for the country. Don't give me this bull crap about how you want him to fail. Anybody that says that, well, the guy that did say it, Rush, I know why he said it. He said it because he knew it was a $1 million phrase. He knew he was going to get mileage out of that for months. He knew that was a T-shirt. He knew that was a baseball cap. He knew that that was a coffee mug. In other words, he knew that that was a nice piece of merchandise. But people that actually believe it. U.S. September job cuts exceeded forecasts. Unemployment rose. U.S. job losses unexpectedly accelerated last month. And the unemployment rate reached the highest level since 1983, that is percentage-wise, signaling any recovery in consumer spending and economic growth will be slow to develop. The Labor Department figures prompted President Obama to say he's working to explore any and all additional measures to spur growth, and he underscored forecasts for the Federal Reserve to keep its benchmark interest rate near zero through next year. Now, let me give you the numbers here. Payrolls dropped by 263,000 in September, exceeding a median forecast in Bloomberg's survey. I believe they thought it was going to be around 185,000. It went up by an extra 80,000. The jobless percentage of the workforce was 9.8, up from 9.7. Now, in the radio business, we call that flat. And they call that flat in some other businesses, too. But that doesn't help, I know. What we are seeing, though, and I know that this was something I was actually trying to get this through to a caller a couple of weeks ago when he thought that he really hit on the all-time big, oh, man, he had it. He had it. I got you now, Phil. The stimulus isn't working because the unemployment rate is going up. And he wouldn't listen to me because he knew if he listened to me, he'd probably hear something that he'd learn, and then he'd have to change his mind. The jobless claims are rising at a slower and slower pace. Now, they rose faster than experts predicted, but you know what they say about experts, right? Well, I don't know what they say about experts, but
Johnny Diablo.
He knows. Ask him. The point is that the jobless rate, the jobless claims are rising slower and slower. The president's going to point that out in this piece of audio here. I call him the president because I say that out of respect. Some people may want me to refer to him as Obama. And I just ain't going to do that. Let's listen. He makes a point citing last year's unemployment figures.
I guess what I'm seeing in America now is a lot of...
No, wait a minute. That isn't it. Where is the Obama unemployment? Oh, my God. All right. Here is Obama talking about unemployment from yesterday.
My principal focus each and every day, as well as the principal focus of my economic team, is putting our nation back on the path to prosperity.
And since the period last winter when we were losing an average of 700,000 jobs per month.
A period last winter when we were losing an average of 700,000 jobs per month. Now, any way you cut it, the jobless claims are slowing down. We'll be back to talk more about this. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
Eight seven seven 877-876 Phil. That's our number here. The world famous Phil Henry Show this Friday night from El Pacifico, the only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're not married to an ideology around here. We just want the facts. Just the facts, Jack. What's happening in this country? And more to the point, not only what's happening in this country, but do people want to know what's happening, or do they want to just keep on hearing what makes them feel good? This is the only radio show in history that will be a commercially viable, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Success. And we're not lying about anything. How about that? The only one that I can think of, the only radio show anywhere that I can think of, or TV show that is actually going to make it as a commercial entity, and we don't have to bullcrap anybody. I don't have to remember before I come on the air, oh, now let me see, what's my point of view on this? You know that there's some guys in this business who actually have to have their point of view written out in front of them so they don't forget that they're a conservative before they go on the air? All right, let's get back to this jobless number, the jobless statistics and so forth that came out today. Republicans, of course, have seized on the jobless report showing mounting losses to criticize President Barack Obama's policies and shift the blame for U.S. economic woes to his administration rather than his predecessor, George W. Bush. And I don't even blame George W. Bush. I would point out that we had much, much higher job loss in the winter, as the president pointed out, and you can't blame Obama for that, nor would I blame President Bush for that. I would blame a response from the economic sector to bad business practice, and that's putting it mildly. That ain't government, man. That's business. That's Angelo. That's Rick. That's all the boys. All those guys with all their bright ideas, huh? All those guys on Wall Street, all of those guys with their, what's the quarterly earning report today, Sally? What's the year-to-year today, Charlie? Who made their number this month, huh? You call that good old-fashioned American business? Well, let's remember something. You know, making money is a great thing, but one of the things that we call an American ideal, in fact, we call it the American dream, is owning a home. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean make money. What that is about putting down roots, raising a family, being a part of a community. If that's the American dream for the average American, then the average business person needs to get that and work with that. And that doesn't mean let's give him a cheap loan, one that he can't pay back, and then we'll all head off to Bermuda for the annual sabbatical. That means we're going to be in this community for a long time. We're going to be lending money to guys, not just this family, but this family. We're going to be here. We're going to be lending money to these people. We're going to be watching them raise children. We're going to be helping them pay for tuitions. We're going to be helping them start businesses. We're part of this town, too. U.S. payrolls dropped by 263,000 last month. The unemployment rate ticked up 9.8%, its highest level as a percentage of the workforce since 1983, with losses extending from cash-strapped state and local governments to retailers and builders. Now, the Republicans said today the acceleration of losses is evidence of Obama's $787 billion stimulus plan and the administration's other economic recovery programs are failing. The jobs numbers put Obama on the defensive after previous economic reports signaled a recovery was gaining some traction. One of the things, and I don't need Obama to tell me this, that lags behind all the other economic indicators is the labor market. I'm just telling you guys what has been my experience having lived through I don't know how many recessions. You think this is if this is your first recession, take it easy, okay? Just, you know, dab at yourself, get yourself a Depends. Everything's going to be okay. I've been through all kinds of recessions. I was through the recession there in the early 90s, the recession in the early 80s, the recession in the early 70s, the gas crunch of the early 70s, the gas crunch of the late 70s. All the apocalyptic doom and gloom, all of the sky is falling proclamations, I've heard them all. I've heard everybody say over and over and over again, oh, we're going to be bankrupt. We're going to be bankrupt. We're losing money. You think that this is new? You don't think it's new, do you? You don't think this is the first time somebody said, oh, boy, man, we're our grandchildren, grandchildren, grandchildren. You know, it does say in the Constitution, the preamble, to guarantee, to secure for future generations the blessings of life and liberty. It does say that in the Constitution. But I dare say that I'm the only person that's ever brought that up on a radio show. I dare say I may be the only guy who's ever brought up on a radio show that when we talk about making sure that our grandkids are not saddled with a lot of debt, there is actually a line in the Constitution, the preamble of the Constitution, that indicates we need to think about generations other than our own. But every time I hear that line, why is it I don't believe the guys that are saying it? Why is it I don't believe that anybody is saying that because they actually care about grandkids? I hear them saying this is a fantastic way to dump more crap on the present administration or whoever, whatever administration it is that I don't like. I know. I'll bring up my grandkids. I thought you were sterile. Well, I am, but nobody knows that, so all right. Obama said the report is a sobering reminder that progress comes in fits and starts. All right, here is President Obama reacting to the unemployment numbers released this morning. We have more audio than this, so.
My principal focus each and every day, as well as the principal focus of my economic team, is putting our nation back on the path to prosperity. And since the period last winter when we were losing an average of 700,000 jobs per month, we've certainly made some progress on this front. But today's job report is a sobering reminder that progress comes in fits and starts, and that we're going to need to grind out this recovery step by step.
Here is the president assuring Americans he will continue to work on the job.
From the moment I took office, I've made the point that employment is often the last thing to come back after a recession. And that's what history shows us. But our task is to do everything we can possibly do to accelerate that process. And I want to let every single American know that I will not let up until those who are seeking work can find work, until businesses that are seeking credit are able to get credit and thrive, until all responsible homeowners can stay in their homes.
And then Joe Biden arrived and said,
who are these people and what do they do?
And then he said,
those facts and those realities aren't good enough for President Obama, and they aren't good enough for me. We don't think that less bad is good. Less bad is not our measure of success. One job lost is one job too many, and it's still too much pain. There's still too many hardworking Americans without a paycheck, still too many families struggling to get by.
Huh?
Anyway, thank you. That was the vice president. Now let's take a phone call. So you got the general gist, you know. The unemployment numbers went up to a 9.8 from a 9.7. That's one-tenth. Generally, in the world of adults, that's not considered to be too horrible. And I'm not saying that it's anything to click our heels about. But can I just say one thing here? Can I just... 9.7 and 9.8. All right. It's going up, yes. The rate of incline is slowing because we know that the jobless numbers have gone down monthly from the winter. But that doesn't matter to some people because they've got a political ideology to sell. Now, I ain't saying that Joe Biden or Barack Obama or Nancy Pelosi or the rest of those guys aren't stinking with ideology. They aren't just reeking with it. I'm not saying that. But there isn't anything that you can say about anything in this world if there are Republicans or Democrats hanging around, if there are liberals and conservatives hanging around, that pack of butt plugs are bound to weigh in and say something to really bum the whole party out. You know, you can say, I just got us 6 cases of beer. Were you a Democrat? Yeah, I ain't going to drink that. Is it Corona? I bet you they, you know, in the bottle, because you know those stories. Yeah. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. So remember that. Unless, of course, you want to continue to feel right, even if it's wrong, and you want to continue to believe that every single solitary thing that comes out of Washington, whether it's George Bush and you're a liberal or it's Barack Obama and you're a conservative, has got to be bad. If you're married to that point of view, number one, you're in for a real load of heartbreak as the world continues to turn. And number two, when things actually are happening that may be beneficial to you or your business, you're going to miss them. You'll miss them. How can you possibly be operating a business? That's the question I have for a lot of people. And then we'll take some calls. How can business people in this country operate a business, have their eyes open to the marketplace, have their eyes open to new developments in manufacturing, tools, whatever it is that you need for your business, have their eyes open to new consumer tastes? How can those same people who are operating their businesses with as wide open a pair of eyes as you've ever had, how can those same people put on blinders when it comes to politics and just say, yep, I'm just going to listen to, Glenn. I'm like Glenn Beck or, Chris Matthew, whoever. How can you go from being a smart person to a dumb person just because it's 5 o'clock? 877-876-PHIL. Here is Bill in Houston, Texas. Bill, what's going on tonight?
Hi, Phil.
How are you, sir?
Yes, sir. I've got two comments. One, before that, I'd like to say I listen to your show because I think you've got integrity and you call them like you see them.
Thank you.
On the unemployment thing, if you lose $700,000 a month for, say, 7 months, then you've lost $5 million, and your sample went down from $100 million to $95 million. And so if your statistic only went up 0.1%, it's still quite a bit. So that unemployment figure is
If you have a workforce of X number of people, okay, and you are losing this many jobs a month, this many jobs a month, this many job, and slowly you see a downtick in the number of jobs that you are losing. All right?
No, you see a downtick in the number of people that are, well, you see fewer people that are actually employed.
I'm quoting to you the actual number released by the industries and the Department of Commerce, okay?
9.8.
We're talking about a number, 283,000 jobs, payrolls dropped, meaning 263,000 people were off the payroll.
Well,
all right, you can say they were fired. They're not on the payroll. Payrolls dropped. I'm not talking about unemployment. You hearing me?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about payrolls dropping. 700,000 people off the payroll. Then another 600,000. Then it goes to 500,000. So the payrolls in America, and one of the things to remember, the first thing a company does when it's losing money is it fires people. It's got to get that bottom line fattened up so the stockbrokers aren't going to panic and start jumping out of windows. All right. And the best way to fatten up the bottom line is to cut your overhead. You fire people. And so many of those firings take place at the beginning of a recession. Then gradually you begin to see those things taper off. And that's what's happening with this number. It's slowing down. Okay. Now, I know that 9.8% ain't nothing to be, laughing and giggling and having fun with, but it's a uptick of 0.1%. And as I recall from last month to the month before, I think we were at 9.5 the month before, in 3 months, we have had 90 days to bust 10%. We haven't even done that yet. What I'm saying is that the people going off of payrolls is slowing down. There are fewer and fewer people being laid off or otherwise not drawing a paycheck. And that indicates to me that the number of people being laid off and fired are fewer. That means there are more people being hired. Or those businesses are simply contracting and are just going to sit there and wait for the banks to open up and start lending them money or otherwise see the customers flowing through the doors. But I don't know if that's necessarily the case. You're going to be talking to me about unemployment paychecks. That would answer that question. But right now we're just talking about payrolls.
I see, sir. Okay. See? That takes care of my
brother.
First comment.
And well, I got to get going. Thank you very much for your call. It's very nice to talk to you. Now then.
Okay, Morrissey.
Well, yeah, but I took up all of his time. All right, 877. Sorry, Bill, but I did. 877-876 Phil. We'll be right back on a world famous Phil Hendry show. We've got more on Roman Polanski. We got David Letterman. We've even got nude pictures of Brooke Shields when she was 10. No, we don't. Somebody did, and they got rid of him. We'll tell you about it when we come back on a world famous Phil Hendry show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, we have the White House lashing out at Fox News for lies. That's coming up in the program. And Representative Grayson laps up the attention, apologizes for his Holocaust remark, but something tells me that in his apology somewhere is the word but. You know, I apologize, but the rest of those guys are a-holes, you know. I apologize, but
I am gay.
And another thing. Obamanation billboard draws attention. Dig this. This was a billboard on Interstate 70 in Blue Springs, Missouri, that was put up by some conservatives, and it said...
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
And then it said, Obamanation. That's right. How do you like your change now? Question mark. Obamanation. They are coming for you. The taxpayer first, Second Amendment are in jeopardy. Live free or die, which ain't even the Montana or Missouri. Excuse me. It's not even the Missouri state slogan. The Missouri state slogan is show me something quasi-gay like that. Who's live free or die, man?
That's Thomas Jefferson.
Not who... What are you talking about?
Not the guy that said it, man. What's the name of the state? What do you mean a state?
What state slogan is live free or die? I know what it is. It's West Virginia, because I heard Robert Byrd say it one day. He's a West Virginia, God rest his soul. Is he dead? I think, well, I don't know. I can't remember. But God rest his soul anyway. I think I heard him say one day on the floor of the Senate, it's New Hampshire, and Robert Byrd is alive. Whew. New Hampshire is live free or die, and Robert Byrd is alive. All right. Thank you and good night. No, so that's the name of that tune, and they have that up on a billboard in Missouri. Now, there's also a hammer and a sickle on the sign. Residents said that they might not agree with the sentiment of the sign, but they felt it was a matter of free speech. Others, that local television station KCTV Channel 5 talked to, said it is offensive, and the sign should come down. Now, we do have some of the commentary here from some of these folks talking about the Obamanation sign. Where are these guys? They were just passersby. There was also one guy who was from Great Britain. He was a preacher, I believe, a pastor. Suddenly, I was walking for a ride, hitching in the rain, and a pastor gave me a ride and asked me about, that's that song, Kentucky Rain, I can't get out of my head. A pastor who drives by the sign during his daily commute to his church said he lived in England for years and agreed with the message. We lived in a socialist society in England, and what I'm seeing in America is that we are pushing to some of those ways now. I'm going to have to explain a little bit of history so you guys can understand that what is happening in America right now with this conversation about socialism was started by television and radio shows. It was started by... How does that make you feel? I mean, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for you. I'm embarrassed for me. The only reason why we're talking about socialism is because some guys, that some of whom might not even have gotten out of high school, honest to God, might not have even gotten out of high school, say that America is becoming a socialized society. You may think you heard a senator say it first, or a congressman. No, you heard it on TV or radio, guaranteed. Here is the reactions of some of the people. In fact, here is that local pastor talking to KCTV television.
I guess what I'm seeing in America now is a lot of moving towards that, especially with the hospitalization and things that they're pushing. But it's not good, and it's taken away our freedoms as Americans.
Now, people that say that we're moving in a direction of socialism don't know what they're talking about. I don't want to put it in a way that is harsh, but they don't know what they're talking about. if they do know what they're talking about, they know that what they're saying isn't true, and they're trying to scare people for political reasons. They're trying to scare people so that their personal ideology wins out over some other guy's ideology. I don't even know why some people are conservatives or liberals. I have no idea why. I honest to God, I don't. I don't know why someone is the way they are politically. Is it stupidity? Is it based on, what is it based on? But nonetheless, anybody that says America is becoming, quote, a socialized society, they don't even know what that is, and they don't know what they're talking about. So why would a billboard be put up that says, and I'm not saying the billboard should come down. I'm not saying that at all. I think the billboard should stay up. I think the billboard should stay up as a crowning achievement to the mentality of the people of Blue Springs, Missouri. Socialism, as it is practiced in the world today, and it's not practiced in too many places, has nothing whatsoever to do with what's happening in America. At some point in the show tonight, I'll explain that. And at some point in the show tonight, maybe just one person is going to know what it is I'm trying to say. All right? 877-876-PHIL. Back by popular demand, the Dr. Green Thumb Report coming up next hour.
Phil Hendry.